kind of, you know, jump right into the middle of this thing. But I think this is a good place to start because you can understand the subject matter better if I give you a real-world illustration of this principle right out of the box. So Proverbs chapter 2, and if you will, give me 35, 40 minutes, no more than 40 minutes, and we'll wrap this up. Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 16. Proverbs chapter 2, excuse me, verse 16. Now this is a warning from God's Word or the wisdom of God, and it lets us know that God's Word or His wisdom will help us avoid certain things and deliver us from certain people. Notice verse 12, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. In other words, the wisdom of God will help you avoid darkness in your life and people who fit into that category. Thank you, Janet. I got it. Thank you. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Now, notice verse 16. To deliver you from the strange woman, even the stranger which flatters with her words, which forsakes the guide of her youth. Notice the last part of that verse. And forgets the covenant of her God. Many times people experience problems and difficulties in their marriage and in their family situation for one reason and one reason only. They've forgotten God's covenant. Or they don't understand what covenant is. Or they don't understand what covenant means. And so they enter into a marriage relationship with a different, wrong mindset, and it hinders them and causes them problems. Notice here it's talking about the strange woman. Now, you have to understand the culture, you have to understand the time, you have to understand the context and the setting. But here, this strange woman that he's referring to, let's read a little further, give you a little more insight on her activities. Notice verse 18. For her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So he's really warning us about the strange woman, and remember, he warned us previously about the evil man, that can lead us down a dark path that leads to death. Now, we're not only talking about physical death, but death spiritually. And so we're warned in the Scripture to avoid these kinds of people. Now, the wisdom of God will help you to avoid these kinds of people and that kind of lifestyle. But notice that this strange woman, in verse 17, it says she forsakes the guide of her youth. That means she was taught the right thing. Somebody led her the right way when she was young. But when she became older, not only did she forget the guidance that she had as a young person, but she forgot the covenant of her God. And so now she lives a lifestyle that inclines to death. And so you have to learn that covenant is so important. And the problem is, for the most part, you know, we live in Western culture and Western society. The Bible's not a Western book. It's an Eastern book. And people in the East and the Middle East have a different mindset, different way of thinking than we do in the West. And most primitive cultures understand some things about covenant that we don't understand in the West or in the United States of America. So that's my job this morning, to teach you about covenant and what it means to you and to your family relationships. Now, what is a covenant? The word covenant in its simple form simply means a cut where blood flows. A cut where blood flows. Now, covenants are integral to every culture on the planet. Every primitive culture in some way, in some form, practices the blood covenant. Even primitive cultures today, in many countries that are not as advanced, third world countries, still practice the blood covenant. Many things that we do in our culture are based on the blood covenant. So we need to understand what it is and how it works. Covenant began with God. God cut a covenant in the Old Testament with Noah. He cut another covenant with Abraham. He cut one with Isaac, with Jacob. He cut one with Israel. He cut one with a man named Phinehas. He cut one with Samuel, with David, and the list goes on and on. But most importantly, he's cut a covenant with you. And that covenant was cut when Jesus died and shed his blood on that cross. So we have to understand what this term covenant, a cut where blood flows, literally means. Now, I'll show you why that's important. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going from Proverbs 2 to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Talking about families, specifically talking about covenant. Ephesians chapter 2. If you've got it, say, I got it. All right. Now, we're going to start with verse 11. Notice what it says, Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, that's the condition that we used to live in as Gentiles, B.C., as I like to say, before Christ. Notice verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh or brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. So here you can see that God operates by covenant. And as a Gentile, as a person who is not born again, not only are you a stranger from God, but you are an alien and you have no idea what these covenants of promise mean to you. Strangers from the covenant. Now, the sad thing is that once we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, many of us are still strangers from the covenants because we don't have enough information. We don't have knowledge about what covenant is, what covenant means. And so that's why I'm here to give you some information. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, I had two or three. I got about seven or eight that time. Let me ask you one more time. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, that's better. Turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's talk about covenant. What is it? What does it mean? A cut where blood flows. Hebrews chapter 11. Well, in fact, go to chapter 12. Flip over to chapter 12. This will bring the point home. Hebrews chapter 12. Talking about covenant. A cut where blood flows. What is it and what does it mean to us? And what in the world does it have to do with families? It has a lot to do with families. Notice verse 24, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Talking about the kingdom of God, it says this in verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And so here we can see just in a simplistic statement that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, which means there was an old covenant. That's what you find in your Old Testament. That's what the word testament means, covenant. And so God established covenant with Israel, but really it began before Israel. It began with a man named Abraham. And you find in Genesis chapter 9 and Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15, simply put, God established a relationship with this man. But that relationship was based upon two things. Number one, blood was shed. And number two, promises were made. And so God cut the covenant with Abraham. And because Abraham was willing to obey God and keep his promise, then God was obligated by that same blood covenant to keep his promise to Abraham. And so some of those promises were, number one, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. Number two, I will be your provider. Number three, if an enemy comes against you, they come against me. Number four, when you have need, I'm there to supply your need. And so God made certain promises to Abraham if Abraham would fulfill his promises to God. And on Abraham's end, it was pretty basic. Just follow me, obey me, do what I ask you to do. And Abraham pledged to do that. And so that's where the relationship began. And because of covenant, the relationship between God and Abraham was unlike the relationship that God had with any other man on the planet. And the reason God chose Abraham, the scripture says God knew him, that he would command his children after him to keep the ways of the Lord. So the reason Abraham was chosen was not because of his ethnicity, but rather his commitment to his family. Are you with me? He would command his children after him, and they would keep the ways of the Lord. He knew that Abraham would instill in his descendants the knowledge of God necessary for God to work in the human family. And it was all based on covenant. Now, some of y'all are still starry-eyed. Hang in there. You'll get it. All right? So Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. And that new covenant is based on blood that was shed that was much unlike Abel. Abel was the first man to die on the planet. And he shed his blood. But Jesus shed his blood, and it says so much more and so much better than did Abel's blood or Adam's blood. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I'm painting a picture for you so that you can understand the new covenant and how it applies to you. Romans chapter 11. What does this new covenant involve? It involves a lot of things. I'm just going to highlight a couple areas for you. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, look at verse 27. Romans 11, 27 says, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." That is, if you will, the biggest benefit that we have under the new covenant. Your sins have been washed away. Your sins have been washed away. And you know, the amazing thing is that a good segment of the church, the body of Christ, still doesn't understand that number one benefit of the new covenant. This is the covenant that I'll make with them. I will take away their sins. But yet many people go around with this mindset, this attitude, well, brother, we're just all sinners saved by grace. Is that right? Well, that is biblically inaccurate and scripturally incorrect. Either you are a sinner or you've been saved by grace. You can't be both. Either your sins have been taken away or they haven't. Are you with me? And so for you to identify with sinner when your sins have been taken away is telling me that you don't understand your covenant. You don't understand what the blood of Jesus has done. Are you with me? Now, I understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that's not your nature anymore if you're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Christ Jesus. In other words, the scales have been balanced because of covenant. Jesus shed his blood and died in your place, and that sacrifice satisfied the claims of justice forever. And so now God doesn't see you as sinner, he sees you as righteous. Not because of your good works, but because of covenant. What Jesus has done. Are you with me? Now, I've said this many, many times, and most of you ought to remember this, but many times, you know, I deal with people and they just don't know. There was an instance in the Old Testament after Abraham and God had developed this covenant relationship that lasted for decades. The promised son has been born, and now he's a young teenager. And God shows up one day and says to Abraham, his blood covenant partner, he said, "I want you to sacrifice to me your son, your only son." And the Bible says Abraham immediately headed out for that place that God had shown him. 3 days' journey. Took a couple of helpers with him. Took his son. Took the wood for the burnt. You know, this sacrifice was not just one where you kill the sacrifice. God wanted a burnt offering. So you kill him and you burn him. And so even Isaac, when he got right to the foot of Mount Moriah, says, you know, hey, Dad, you know, I see the wood. I see the altar. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. Speaking prophetically. But he fully intended to obey God. And when he got to that place and he bound his son and laid him upon that wood, lifted the knife to kill his son, an angel stopped him and said, I know now that you obey me because you've not even withheld from me your son. And then in the bushes, there was a ram caught in the thicket. But most people don't understand why that took place. And I've had people say goofy things to me over the years. I remember one dear Christian woman, she loved God with all her heart. She just didn't know. I happened to be at her home. Our family went over there, and my son was a little boy at the time. And it was the first time she'd met him. And she said, oh, this is your firstborn son. You're going to sacrifice him to the Lord like Abraham did. And I simply said to her, I said, no, that sacrifice has already been made. I don't have to do that. Now, she just didn't understand that. Then over the years, people would say things, well, you know, God does tempt us and try us. Well, they don't understand the principle in the New Testament. And they said, well, God tried Abraham. Why won't he try you? Well, you don't understand the relationship that they had. God is not going to ask you for your son or your daughter. That sacrifice has been met and paid. But here's the thing that you have to understand. If Abraham, God's blood covenant partner on the earth, was willing to sacrifice his son for God, then God is bound by that blood covenant to sacrifice his son for Abraham and his seed. Once Abraham lifted the knife to kill Isaac, Jesus was a done deal. And God knew Abraham's heart. He knew that Abraham would offer up his only son for him. So that opened the door for God to sacrifice his only son for Abraham and for you. Amen. Why? Covenant. Blood was shed. Amen. Now, covenants have existed throughout all time, human history. And as I said earlier, every primitive culture has some form of the blood covenant that they practice. But what is a covenant? It simply means this, that two parties enter into an agreement that is unalterable. You can't change it. And there are no escape clauses. In fact, in some African cultures, even today, if you make a covenant with another tribe or another person and you break that covenant, your own family will have you killed. Not the other guy's family. Your own family would have you killed because you broke covenant. It's such a sacred thing. So, here's what I want you to see about covenant. It's a lifelong agreement with no escape clause. It's used to join people, tribes, and families to each other with terms that cannot be altered or revoked. Now, there was a great missionary, Mr. Stanley and Dr. Livingston, back in the 1800s, early 1900s, and he was a missionary explorer and spent a lot of time in Africa, and Mr. Stanley had gone without communication for months, and the British were concerned, so they sent Dr. Livingston to find him, and he did. But in Stanley's writings, he wrote that he had cut the covenant in Africa many times. But the first time that he cut the covenant, he had encountered a tribe that was pretty powerful, pretty fierce, and they would not let him pass through their lands. So he's trying to negotiate, trying to find a way to keep these people happy, and they were having none of it. And so one of the interpreters said, well, what you should probably do is cut the covenant with that chief. Well, the covenant was new to him. He didn't understand what it meant. And he said, well, it simply means that you come into an agreement, you make some promises, blood is shed, and gifts are exchanged. But once that takes place, you become brothers. You become one. So everything that he has now belongs to you, and everything that you have now belongs to him. And so reluctantly, Stanley cut the covenant with his chief. But he didn't know what this chief wanted. This chief wanted, and apparently Mr. Stanley had some stomach trouble, so he brought his own goat with him so he could drink goat's milk. Well, when he cut the covenant after the negotiations were done with his tribal chief, the chief wanted that goat. And so Stanley gave him his prize goat. And in turn, Dr. Stanley got a big old spear with carvings on it and copper works on the top of it. And Stanley thought, you got to be kidding me. He got my goat and I got a stick. Well, what he didn't realize was as he traveled further into the interior, when he encountered hostile tribes, when they saw that spear that he had been given by that chieftain, literally, many of these tribes bowed their knees and gladly told him, you can go through our lands and we'll help you get through. We'll give you all the stuff you need to get through. Why? They realized that if they messed with Stanley, they messed with that other tribal chief. And he had one of the most powerful tribes in the nation. And they didn't want to mess with that guy. Are you with me? And so that's what covenant entails. And so to cut the covenant, blood was shed. It was mingled. And then the area where the blood was, or the incision was made, was covered with gunpowder. And it would heal and leave a mark. And so forever they were identified as covenant men because you could see the mark on their wrists. And so we have certain forms of that ritual in sororities and not so much sorority, fraternities. You know, they mark themselves. Well, that's a sign of covenant. They're brothers from whatever. Are you with me? Some of y'all been there. Some of y'all got the tattoos. Don't show them to me. You got them. All right? But that's what covenant involves. It's a lifelong agreement with no escape clause, and it's used to join people and tribes and families together. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at this. Let's look again at our covenant, and then I'm going to share from my heart, and I think you'll learn some things. Hebrews chapter 10, talking about covenant and families. Hebrews chapter 10, and notice verse 6. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6 says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you've had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written in me to do your will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin, you would not, neither had pleasure in them, which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, talking about the covenant, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Notice verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That simply means that the offering of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood was enough to deal with your sin issue forever. Amen. By one offering, you were cleansed. By one offering, you were cleansed. By the blood of that covenant, it was enough to cleanse you from sin. And so now the Bible says, a little later on in Hebrews, this is the covenant that I'll make with them. I'll write my laws in their, I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds while I write them. Amen. There again, another covenant promise that we have. Simply because blood was shed and Jesus was the one who shed that blood. So a covenant is a lifelong agreement. Now, here is the bottom line. Why am I sharing all this stuff about covenant? When it comes to marriage and the family, oftentimes we have the wrong mindset. We don't think in terms of covenant, but rather we think in terms of contract. In other words, if things don't go the way I like, then I have an escape clause. If I feel like, I get tired of this woman and something younger and finer comes along, then I can jump ship. That's the wrong mindset. Or I've heard this one over the years. You ever hear this one? Oh, Pastor Bill, we fell out of love. We just fell out of love. Well, wait a minute. That's not biblical. Falling out of love with somebody? The Bible says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Not a love issue, it's an iniquity issue. Iniquity will cause your love to wax cold. Are you with me? Well, Pastor Bill, we just grew apart. What do you mean grew apart? You're both grown to begin with. No, you didn't have that covenant mindset. See, covenant is something that doesn't give you that escape clause so that you can yield to the flesh. See, we live in our culture where everything's convenient, man. I'm just talking from my heart right now. Everything's convenient. It's easy and convenient. You want to go? You want to get some money? Just go to the ATM. That's great. As long as you got money in the bank, it'll spit it out. You know, you're hungry? Go to the drive-thru. It's convenient. You know, you don't like this channel? Change it. Listen to me. Families and relationships aren't that way. They're not that way. You are dealing with people's lives throughout eternity. And you need to have a covenant mindset. Now, the Bible says that a sign of the last days, and let me give you my little disclaimer again. Remember I started the series, I gave some disclaimers. I'm going to say some things that might strike close to home, but if you just smile, look straight ahead, nobody will know it's you. Okay? So please, don't leave here with condemnation today. If you've had multiple marriages or multiple relationships, or if you're a single parent, don't get condemned. Are you with me? My purpose is to give you information to help you from now on. Everybody say this with me. My future is brighter than my past. All right? If you're in Christ Jesus, your sins have been washed away. So don't let the devil heap a load of condemnation on you this morning. But I can help you from now on. Everybody say from now on. All right. Good. Because I don't want anybody to get the feelings hurt. Now, I'll tell you a little story. In fact, some of y'all know this person I'm going to talk about. I think if he were right here, I'd still say the same thing. I have a brother-in-law, Fletcher. Some of y'all know Fletcher. Some of y'all probably went to school with Fletcher. Fletcher was a tremendous athlete. You know, great wrestler, football player, played pro football for a while. But for many, many years, Fletcher was crazy. Fletcher was out there, man. I mean, this guy had been married more times than I can count. I'm just being honest. Don't look at me like, you know, you're so holy. Come on. This is where we live. And so I remember many, many years ago, Fletcher happened to fly through St. Louis. And, of course, I was married to his sister. So he called Peggy, said, hey, you know, I'd like to have dinner with you. So great. We went out. We didn't live that far from the airport and went out and had dinner at a restaurant, and Fletcher was married to wife number 3, I think. And so we're having dinner at this restaurant, and he's, you know, having a little bit too much to drink. I don't drink alcohol, but he did. And I remember our waitress was about 8.5 months pregnant, and he's hitting on the girl. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? He's hitting on the girl, and she's about to drop. I mean, what is this? She's married, man. And this guy's, you know, trying to hit. I'm like, what? And he knows I'm a preacher. What is he doing? Y'all ever been there? Y'all ever had dinner with a preacher? You change the way you do things, don't you? You change the way you talk. You watch your P's and Q's, you know. Hey, he didn't care. He didn't care. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this guy? He's out of control. He's crazy. Well, let me fast forward several years later. Fletcher got saved, gave his life to Jesus, married a beautiful woman, Cynthia, and they have a great family, have a great relationship. And Fletcher is the epitome of a godly man today. Not only is he godly, his sons are godly. What a wonderful thing that God has done in the guy's life. And so back in 1996, I had to go to Arizona for some business, and Fletcher was living in Scottsdale, and so I rented a Camaro convertible. This is in April, I think, of 96. And in April, the weather's nice in Arizona, and I'm just tooling around with him and his two boys. One was in college. The other was a senior in high school, just having a blast for that week. And Fletcher took me to two different churches while I was out there, introduced me to two different pastors. And one of the pastors, you know, graduated from the same Bible college that I did. I didn't know him, but I know him now. And so before I left that week, I'm standing in the parking lot of Azusa World Ministries in Phoenix, Arizona, and Fletcher's giving me a hug because I'm headed to the hotel, then I'm going to catch my flight the next day. And he's like, "Praise God, man, I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you came." I said, "Fletcher," I said, "I never dreamed there would be a day when you would be taking me to church." It was just stunning, the turnaround, what God had done in his life. Not only that, when I was hanging out at their house for a while, I noticed an older guy who was living with their family, and I immediately thought it was Cynthia's father or uncle or something like that. I didn't know the guy. So I asked Jason one day, I said, "Hey, who's that guy at the, you know, is that one of Cynthia's relatives?" He said, "No, he's a homeless man." I said, "Really?" "Yeah, he lives with us through the week. My dad just thought it'd be a nice thing if we show kindness to somebody, so we moved him into our home. He's a part of our family." I thought, wow. I know a lot of good Christian people wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Move a homeless guy into your house and just make him part of your family? That's how powerful the transformation of Jesus Christ is and can be with you. Are you with me? So don't get hung up on your past. You know, I think most of you haven't been through relationships like Fletcher has, but look what God has done with him. If he can do that with him, he can do great things with you. All right, everybody cool? All right, good deal. All right, let's look at this, and I want to show you something. Turn with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. What does it mean to have a covenant mindset? That's what I'm going to share with you as we close this morning. Psalm 89. Excuse me. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we'll look at verse 34. Okay. Psalm 89. Notice verse 34. And it says this, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." In other words, God keeps covenant. God never backs out of covenant. Once he makes a promise, he is committed forever. There's no alteration. There's no escape clause. God keeps covenant. And he doesn't change. Now, that is the one thing that we can have confidence in, because if God never changes once he says something, then we can have confidence in him. If there's one constant in the universe, it's God. In the old covenant, he said, "I am the Lord, I change not." In other words, I don't change. In the new covenant, James says, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, God, with whom is no variableness." That means he doesn't alter from day to day. "And not even a shadow of turning." Doesn't even look like God's going to change. So if there's one constant in the universe, it's God. So if he's constant, then that means we can rely on his word. We can have faith in him because he doesn't change from day to day. God doesn't get up today saying, "Oh, Cheryl, I just like you so much." And then the next day you get up and say, "I don't like you so much today." No, he's always the same. Always loves you the same. Always cares about you the same. Always has the same intent for you day by day. Because God keeps covenant. He doesn't alter. He doesn't change. So we can have confidence in him. Now, my point in sharing that is simply this. We need to be the same way. We need to be the same way. Now, the closest thing to a blood covenant in our culture, in our society, is the marriage relationship. And marriage is the closest agreement to the blood covenant in our culture. Yet, in our culture, marriage is treated more like a contract than a covenant. And people will stand up and say, yes, till death do me part. That's covenant talk. But instead they're thinking, till death do us part, or I'm unhappy, or whatever. Or we grow away from each other, or blah, 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 blah. You know, see, what happens is you've given yourself an out, an escape clause. And the enemy will use that little wedge that you've given him to cause you fits. Are y'all with me? Y'all didn't leave yet, did you? I'm not going to let you go yet. Now, do you think this is important? I think so. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And we'll close with this. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, I can go deeper with this if you like, but it's, I don't want to offend anybody. But covenant is so much a part of our human family that even physiologically, covenant comes into play in a marriage relationship. And, well, I'll go ahead and say it. But we're designed that way to the degree that when a man marries a woman and has relationships with her for the first time, and that hymen is broken, blood is shed, and it covers his member as a sign of covenant. Ooh, that's deep. Bet you never thought of that one before, did you? Huh? It's so built into us that it's part of our human makeup. But yet, in the Western culture, we have no idea of covenant. But we need to understand it. Okay, Romans chapter 1. Let me show you something here. We're going to turn this so that you'll rejoice today. You with me? Here's a list of ungodly characteristics that God's not real fond of. And notice in verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. Notice the next word, covenant breakers. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, etc., etc. But notice that covenant breakers is right in there with the list of murderers, backbiters, haters of God. Why would you find that in there? Because God takes covenant seriously. God takes covenant seriously. Now, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? As a husband, as a wife, when you enter into that marriage covenant, you've got to have a different mindset than our culture. If you don't, you will not survive. Are you with me? You've got to be willing to be committed and unalterable and unchangeable for the rest of your life, period. No out clause. Now, I'm going to qualify this with this. And this goes back to making right decisions, being led by the Spirit of God, and not marrying the wrong person. If you're involved in a relationship where you have a spouse who's beating you up every Friday night, you need to get out of it. Because God has called you to peace. He did not call you to get your head beat in. Are you with me? And you have grounds to get out of it, you need to leave that person in the dust. Well, should have never married him in the first place. But you know what I mean? But sometimes we don't listen and we learn the hard way, or you find out things about people that you didn't know. You all with me? If you can't say amen, say, oh me. Amen. God has called you to peace. You know, if you're married to somebody who's a drug addict or a serial adulterer, I've got a friend in another state who was married to a guy that I went to Bible college with. And this guy This guy, Margie, chased every skirt he could find. Young skirt, old skirt, he didn't care. Single skirt, married skirt, made no difference to him. This guy just cheated on his wife over 30 years. Over 30 years, after 32 years of marriage, divorced her for a younger woman that he's living with now, got her pregnant. And, oh man, I said too much. Good gracious, I said too much. But she put up with that stuff for 32 years. And I said to her, I said, why didn't you say something? He was a friend of mine. Why didn't you at least say something? He's working on staff at the church with me. Why didn't you say something? I'd have slapped him upside the head for you. I would have. Because he had broken his covenant again and again and again and again. She didn't have to put up with that. Are y'all with me? That's grounds to dump his butt. Oh boy, how do I recover from this one? All right. Listen, God wants you to have a blessed family and a blessed marriage, but we have to have the right mindset. If it's going to work, if it's going to succeed, we have to understand that we have relationship with God based on blood covenant. Amen. God loves you eternally. You know, I had a conversation with all my kids that sort of went something like this. I'm your father. I will always be your father. I will always love you. I wish that you would do the right thing, like I taught you. But even if you don't, I will always love you because you will always be my son or my daughter. Are you with me? So I want them to know that there's nothing in life that's going to separate the bond that we have. It's covenant. It's based on blood. They're my kids. Are you with me? And so that love for them is not based on what they do. God has the same kind of love for you. He may not be pleased with what you do, but He loves you eternally because you've entered into the covenant by your faith in Jesus Christ. But we, in turn, need to have that same covenant mindset when it comes to others. When you commit your love to somebody, do it based on covenant, not convenience, not a contract. Are you with me? If you really want to enjoy a rich, vibrant, exciting marriage relationship, that's the way you got to think. That's the way you got to think. And you find different aspects of covenant all throughout the Scripture. The Bible says about Job, he made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should he look upon a maid? What does that mean? He made an agreement with his eyes that he wouldn't lust after anybody but his wife. You with me? He made a covenant that was unalterable, unchangeable, and that's the way he lived his life. That's why God blessed him the way he did. And so you've got to have that mindset of covenant. Otherwise, you start thinking like a contract or what's convenient, you're going to be in trouble and you're going to hurt a lot of people. And the most important person that you're going to hurt is yourself. But when you think and live in terms of covenant, God will respect your commitment and He will pour His grace upon you like you have never seen before. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. How many of y'all did I lose today? Everybody still here? All right. Would you stand with me, please? Covenant.